And I'm excited to be here. I was encouraged just looking on your church website at the history of this church and just to see all that the Lord has done in the years past. And what an encouragement that God has raised up a lighthouse here in the city, none other than Madison. There's a need. And so praise the Lord for the work He's doing right here in this city. We just ask the Lord our burden. I have the opportunity to travel around to different churches as the Lord opens the door. And it's just a blessing to see God at work in raising up lighthouses for Him in such a dark world. We recognize we live in a dark and needy world. And as the saying goes, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And so there's an opportunity for us to just be bright lights for the Lord. And I trust that's your heartbeat. I do want to just make a couple comments about the upcoming revival meetings. As Pastor Weiss already mentioned, Thursday night is friend night. And also the gospel will be presented on Sunday morning as well. So as you have contacts, neighbors, co-workers, people that you know, just invite them specifically to those services, even both of those, Sunday morning and Thursday night specifically, as the gospel will be given very clearly. And then I would just encourage you, all of us are busy. We have schedules, but as we anticipate the revival meeting starting this Sunday with Evangelist Chris Miller, just make plans even now to attend really all of those services if you're at all able to. Every one of those nights, I know sometimes work can be a conflict, but if all possible, just ask the Lord, would you help me to rearrange my schedule to be here every night? And I know the Lord will just use it to be an encouragement to you. God uses His Word to speak to our hearts. God uses His Word to help us to know how to take the next step forward. And I've personally been challenged just by the preaching of Evangelist Chris Miller. He's a man who prays. He's a man who seeks the Lord. And the messages that he brings will just be an encouragement wherever you are in your spiritual journey to seek the Lord. And perhaps you have children and there's homework and supper and all of those things, just some practical tips, just thinking ahead to rearrange your schedule to get those things done earlier as much as possible so you can be here on time for the services. Just want to encourage you along those lines. And then if you're have to work late and you need to come late, we just encourage you to come anyway. So don't let the fact you're a few minutes late hinder you from coming. We just want you to be a part of what God wants to do. We're going to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And just before we get into the text, just a little bit about me and just what the Lord's doing in my life. Again, it's not me, it's what He is doing through surrendered vessels. And I trust that's your heartbeat. Lord called me to preach when I was 9 years old. And served as an assistant pastor at a church, Stone Ridge Baptist Church, in Bloomington, Indiana. And so my home base is there in Indiana. How many of you have been to Indiana? Okay, I see. Wow, several hands. How many of you have lived in Indiana before? Okay, very good. Great. So it's a great state. That's where I'm based out of. And so just looking to the Lord one step at a time. It's a blessing, again, to be here in Wisconsin. Let's turn our attention now to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And this chapter, the Lord specifically impressed upon my heart about a week ago. And I trust as we look ahead to revival meetings, that the Lord will just take this revival passage and begin to do a work in all of our hearts that He wants done. So if you would, just stand with me as we read 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we will read all the way through verse number 10. 1 Samuel chapter 7, it says this, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. They gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Verse 7, And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. If you look back in verse number 3, in the middle of the verse, it says this, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then. The title of my message is simply, Are You Ready for Revival? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just open your word to us tonight. Would you teach us? Lord, would you speak to all of us? Do you know where we're at in the spiritual journey that we're on? And so I pray that your word would just change us. I pray that your spirit would have free course. And Lord, I pray that I would not get in the way with what you want to accomplish tonight. So we commit this time to you in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. How many of you are cooks? I didn't say necessarily good cooks, but you're cooks, okay? I'm sure many of you are great cooks. But you know, when you cook a recipe, you have, if you follow a recipe to cook a meal, there's certain ingredients that you have to put in that without those ingredients, the recipe just won't turn out. We all know that. And as it comes to the concept of revival, there's certain ingredients that have to be a part of revival or it just won't work. And in this passage, I want us to notice four key ingredients of revival so that you and I can be prepared, can be ready for revival. Certainly, as we think about revival, the word revive simply means life again. It's really Jesus' life. It's coming to the end of ourselves so that Jesus can have free course in our life and be able to fill us and then flow through us in ministry to others. So the concept of revival is a critical concept. It's covered in many passages throughout the Bible. And 1 Samuel is a revival passage. It gives us four key ingredients for revival. First of all, the first key ingredient for revival is a dissatisfaction with the current state of affairs. I want us to just notice in verse number 2, we read it, but it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long. In fact, it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. This is a dark time in Israel's history. The context of this passage is the time of the judges. How many of you have read the book of Judges? And as you read through, especially in the last few chapters, wow, it's just hard to picture all that's happening because of the moral decline, the debauchery. It's like, wow, what is going on? What are people thinking? Of course, the last verse of the book of Judges says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And certainly that's a picture of our day, is it not? In large part, everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. What is truth? What's true for you may not be true for me, is the common philosophy in our world today. Everything's relative. And I'm here to say that God's Word never changes. God's Word is our objective standard for truth. It doesn't matter what our culture says. It doesn't matter what society says. We can have confidence in the Word of God. I like to picture our culture as a rushing current. And the fact is, this current is here to sweep us away with it. And so you and I need to be anchored in the Word of God. Amen. So that we're not swept away in the shifting compromise of our culture. Well, for Israel, it was a dark time. The Ark of the Covenant was in Kirjath-Jearim for a period of 20 years. Now, this wasn't where the Ark was supposed to be. It was supposed to be in Shiloh. That was where the tabernacle was. And really, the picture of the Ark being, of course, you may remember the story, the Philistines captured the Ark. Remember the story? And God actually showed Himself strong and put Dagon, their god, to shame, proving that God was God alone. Well, the Ark came back to Israel, but it didn't come back to Shiloh. And really, the absence of the Ark in Shiloh was a picture that God had not worked in the nation of Israel for a long period of time. There was a deadness, there was a dryness in this, in the society here for Israel. And it says that Israel lamented. The time was long. It was 20 years since God had done anything miraculous, anything amazing on a national scale. They were under the bondage of the Philistines. They were servants to the Philistines. The Philistines seemed to press them on every side. And Israel recognizes that they're in a low spot. They're in a dark time. Well, you and I recognize as we look at our world around us that we're living in a dark time. Yep. The culture has shifted from where it used to be. As we think about the founding of our nation, we recognize that our nation was founded largely on the principles of God's Word, and it was founded by people who believed the Bible largely. Now, I recognize that our founding forefathers weren't perfect, but many of them did believe the Bible. In fact, you realize that many of our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, several state charters, the most oft-quoted book by far was the Word of God. You see the principle, the foundation of God's Word laid all throughout our nation's founding. The first primer, English primer, to teach children how to learn the alphabet, was each letter of the alphabet was tied to a verse in the Bible. That's how children learn the alphabet. Can you imagine that in our public schools today? But in 1962 and 1963, prayer and the Bible was taken out of our schools. We've seen the moral decline as a result of that. We've seen even in 1973, of course, the infamous Roe v. Wade, where abortion was so-called legalized. We see the advance of the transgender, the LGBT movement in our culture. The fact is, the family and our world is falling apart at the seams. We recognize the world that we live in is a dark day. But I'm here to say that God has done things in our past. God has done amazing things even in our nation's history. Through the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening, the Revival Prayer Awakening in 1857 and 1858, God's done some amazing things. And I'm here to say that God still wants to do even miraculous things in our day today, in our world today. But it will not happen apart from you and I, God's people, being revived. Coming back into that connection with the life of Jesus. That's the only answer our world has. We've got to recognize, first of all, the need. There has to be a growing dissatisfaction with the current state of affairs. We've got to recognize our world is in need, but it has to go beyond that to recognize, Lord, is there an area in my life where I'm in need? As you look at your own life, can you perhaps say, as Israel looked and said, it's been a long time since we've seen the presence of God. Perhaps you in your own life could say, perhaps it's been a long time since I've walked in fellowship with the Lord. Perhaps it's been a long time since I saw specific answers to prayer. It seems like God answers other people's prayers, but not mine. Perhaps it's been a long time since you've seen someone saved or even shared the gospel personally with someone. There has to be a recognition. If we're going to be revived, we've got to recognize, Lord, I'm dissatisfied with the current state of affairs, my current spiritual condition. Do you see the need around you? Well, that's easy to see. But do you see the need perhaps in our own lives? You personally. Isaiah 59 really is apt a picture of what can be true in our lives, where truth is fallen in the streets, judgment is turned away backward, and Christians largely losing their salt and light. Perhaps we can be comfortable with the current condition that we find ourselves. We can be comfortable with a few answers to prayer. We can be comfortable with a little to no burden for lost souls. We can be comfortable with going through the motions of coming to church, going through the routines without a close, vibrant relationship with Jesus. I'm just saying, if we're going to experience revival, we've got to first of all become dissatisfied with our current spiritual condition. That's really captured in the word they lamented. That word lament has the idea of to groan or bewail. Even with the idea of crying aloud, they've recognized that their situation is so desperate. They need God. That leads us to the second ingredient for revival. Not just a dissatisfaction with our current spiritual condition, but then a desire, number two, to see God work. And this is where it says they lamented after the Lord. They recognize our hope is in the Lord. We're in a desperate situation. We haven't seen God work for 20 years at least. Phinehas' son, Ichabod, a picture of the gravity of the situation, the glory of God departed. And yet they said, there is hope. And the hope is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in God. They lamented after the Lord. There's a desire there. No doubt there were people in Israel who remembered. They had heard the stories of God's great deliverance. In previous times, the miracles in Egypt, the deliverance through the Red Sea, and the stories of the walls of Jericho falling. No doubt these Israelites had heard the stories before. They knew God had worked in their past. I can just imagine them longing, that idea of lamenting after the Lord. Lord, would you deliver us again? Would you do it again? I wonder if that's our heartbeat even as we look at our nation. Lord, would you do it again? But corporate revival for us as God's people won't happen without first personal revival. You and I have to come face to face in honesty and humility before the Lord. Lord, would you evaluate my own condition? Is there areas that I need to come back into fellowship with you? The hope is there, and it's only in Jesus Christ. A desire for God to work. And then number three, we see this in verse number three. It says, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. There was a definite, purposeful decision to choose revival. You realize when it comes to personal revival, it's a choice that you and I make. Right. You and I right now can choose to live in revival. When it comes to corporate revival, that's something we're praying and asking the Lord to do on a large scale, to pour out His Spirit. But when it comes to our walk with the Lord, it's a personal decision, a purposeful decision that all of us need to make, to choose revival. And it's pictured, Samuel says, if you return to the Lord. So here is Israel, picture with me. They're lamenting after the Lord. And Samuel says, if you choose to return to the Lord, if you do return to the Lord, if that's your decision, then, and he gives them three different conditions of what they needed to do practically to make this choice. I want to focus first, before we get to those three aspects, the idea of return to the Lord. How many of you have been driving down the road and you made a wrong turn? I think all of us could put our hands up, right? How many of you have found when you're on the phone or distracted, it's easier to make a wrong turn when you're not on the phone, okay? Just about three weeks ago, I was picking up some print job from a printer on the north side of Indianapolis. And I got in the car, knew the route well. I was headed to the south side of Indianapolis. And there was, as I got on the interstate from picking up this project, I was driving along, I was on the phone, and I got in the wrong lane. In fact, the lane I got in was the lane that took me to I-865 to 65 North up to Chicago instead of 465 to South Indianapolis. So I'm driving along, and I didn't recognize I had made that wrong turn. Driving along, talking on the phone, and all of a sudden the scenery around me starts to change. Things just don't look like I thought they should look. Like I thought, wasn't this three lanes and this is only two? And then I look and see a bridge that I don't recognize, big letters, Lebanon, Indiana. And I recognize, wait a minute, I've made a wrong turn. I've got in the wrong lane and I'm headed to Chicago instead of Southern Indianapolis. At that point, I had a choice to make. When I recognized I went the wrong way, I could just keep plowing on ahead to Chicago, or I could choose to return, to turn back. That's what the word return means, to turn around, to turn back. At the point you and I recognize, God puts His finger on something in our lives that need to change, something His Holy Spirit convicts us about. Some sin, some compromise. It's at that point you and I have a choice to return. To recognize, yes, I'm siding with God. I agree with God against myself. I'm choosing to go back God's way. Well, what does this look like? Very quickly, I just want to walk through these three things because I find it interesting that Samuel gives three very specific things. If we're going to return, if we're going to make the choice for revival, turning back to the Lord, what do these conditions involve? Number one, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Number one, we have to put away the idols in our lives. I realize we don't worship idols of wood and stone. But are there other loves in your life? Are there other distractions, things that keep you from walking with the Lord? Things that keep you from spending time with the Lord? Are there other things that perhaps you justify? Think, well, everyone else does it. It's okay for me. Idols. Things that come between you and God. Things that put, as it were, a wall between you and God. Any sin in your life, no matter how small it is, it can be a word, it can be a thought, it can be our attitudes. Anytime you and I grieve the Holy Spirit, we put distance between us and God. That fellowship, as it were, is broken. It's not on God's end, it's on our end. We've put the distance there. And we've got to recognize, Lord, am I valuing something else above you? Every time we sin, we show we're valuing something else or someone else or ourselves above God. Yep. As we come to this first condition, put away idols. Put away Baal and Asherah. Put away those little affections, that secret sin or those fleshly appetites, the desire to please ourselves. Put those things away so that we can be restored in fellowship with God. What does he say in number two? Not only put away the strange gods, but then notice he says, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. I like this word prepare. It's interesting. There's different contexts where this word shows up or this imagery shows up. Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Jotham, it says, became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Ezra, it says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. This idea of prepare is it's a purposeful fixing or setting our heart. The same word is used by the psalmist when he says in Psalm chapter 57, it says, my heart is fixed. Another passage in Psalms, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. There's a purposeful setting our heart. It's a purposeful decision that we make as we think about putting away the idols, putting away those things in our lives that is a hindrance between us and God. There's also that need to prepare our hearts, to set our affections on things above, as Colossians 3 says, where we're putting away the things that we know is causing that distance between us and God and purposely choosing we want God. We're choosing His way, not our own. And that leads to the third aspect where it says, serve Him only. Now, you and I, it's easy for us to serve ourselves, what we want, what's comfortable, what's easy. And this is really where we're put to the test because we have to recognize that it's my life, your life is not about what you want. It's about what He wants. And as we exchange what we want for what He wants, we find that our desires in time actually align where we want what He wants. Do you want what God wants? Serve Him only where we're glorifying Him with all of our heart. We're loving Him. We're serving Him. As Jesus said to the lawyer that asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the idea of being all in, serving God only. Well, we've looked at three so far. We've got a fourth one to go, but at these elements of revival. First of all, dissatisfaction of the current state of affairs, recognizing I have a need. Then there's a desire for God to meet that need. There's a desire for God to work in my life. And then number three, a decision to choose to return to the Lord. Lord, would you show me anything in my life that is a hindrance in my walk with you? As the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, search me, O God. The first part of those Psalm 139 tells how much God already knows about us. He knows our down sitting, He knows our uprising, He knows our thoughts afar off. But the psalmist says, search me, O God. As we prepare for revival meetings even next week, would you just come before the Lord and say, Lord, would you search me? Would you show me to me as you see me? Not how I see myself, not how I like to think of myself, not how other people view me, but Lord, I want your perspective. Is that your heartbeat tonight? And then number four, a fourth ingredient to revival. That's an absolute dependence on the Lord to deliver. It's possible for you and I to be in the right place, to be walking with the Lord, and still have a disconnect between the power that is available to us. Because number four, we have to have an absolute dependence on God. And this is where Israel, so they've take time in verse number 7 to get right with the Lord. Actually, in verse number 6, they fasted on that day. They said, we have sinned against the Lord. They took time to get right with God. Lord, whatever sin is in my life, I'm willing to deal with it. And they took time away. In verse number 8, they recognized the Philistines are coming against us. And they said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord for us. Recognize that, yes, we're in a place, we're right with the Lord, but we need to depend on the Lord to deliver us from the Philistines. So think of our own personal life. Are you depending on the Lord to give you victory over temptation? Maybe walking with the Lord, walking in fellowship with the Lord, but as you walk through the day, there's an importance for you and I to actually acknowledge specifically our need for Him, to enable us to do what we can't do ourselves. There's a need for us to cry out to the Lord. Lord, would you deliver me? Lord, would you restore my marriage relationship? Perhaps there's conflicts at home. Lord, I believe you're able, and I'm crying out to you to do what I can't do myself. Perhaps there's someone that's hurt you very deeply. It's something you just have a hard time releasing before the Lord. Releasing that offense. It's so hard. You wouldn't believe what they did to me. That's where we need the Lord. Lord, I can't forgive, but I know you can. And I'm depending on you to enable me to forgive, to do what I can't do myself. You and I have to walk in a constant moment-by-moment dependence on the Lord. Are you depending on the Lord? Did you acknowledge your need for Him even this morning? Throughout the day, just a constant communion with the Lord. Lord, I need you. As I start a new project, as you go about and have a new activity you're involved in, Lord, I'm acknowledging you in this situation. It's at the moment that we're in the right place, but also depending on Him, where God's power is able to work through our lives. Three elements of revival. I just want to ask you as we close, are you burdened for revival? Do you recognize the need out there? But then do you recognize the need right here in your own personal life? Are you willing just to ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life that is hindering your full power at work in my life? There has to be that dissatisfaction with where you are spiritually, and then a desire for God to work. And then a decision that I'm going to choose to go all in for the Lord. I'm going to choose to walk with Him. I'm going to choose to return, to say no to those other loves, those other idols. And then prepare to see God deliver. Because in verse 10, God does a great deliverance to the Israelites, where God thunders on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. In verse number 12, Samuel sets up a stone, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. God wants to do in your and my life, yours and my life, things that we can't even imagine, exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. not only in our own personal lives over victory over sin, courage to face trials, but also effectiveness in ministry to others. As we walk with the Lord, we're able to be the salt and light in this dark world that God wants us to be. Four elements, four key ingredients to revival. Just want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Pastor will come, and of course we'll have a prayer time as Pastor directs. I just want to ask you in your own heart, just between you and the Lord, would you say the Lord has specifically spoken to you tonight? Perhaps the Lord's put His finger on an area in your life where you're not walking in fellowship with the Lord. Perhaps there's a bit of a distance or a disconnect, or not that spiritual zeal that you know the Lord would desire you to have. And you just be honest before the Lord even tonight to say, you know, the Lord did put His finger on something specific in my life, and I'm willing by God's grace to deal with it. If that's you, would you just simply slip up your hand? Amen. Amen. And Lord, I just pray specifically for these ones who have just acknowledged a need, a specific need. I pray that You'd give them the courage to just take the steps to return to You and to see Your full work at Your work in their lives. And so we just commit these next few minutes of prayer to You. We would seek You, that You would meet with us. We pray in Your name. Amen.